again. Thank you, Claire, for sharing your testimony with us.
And it's so good to hear these testimonies. It's very clear to me that everybody's got a different front line. All the front lines we've heard from the testimonies are different, and I'm sure yours is equally subtly different to the others. It's not that we live in different countries or even different cultures, but our front lines are in different parts of our society, and it's the part of our society that marks the difference in our front lines. Now, today marks roughly the three-quarter mark through our sermon series on fruitfulness and the front line. And at various times on our front line, we have to model different fruitfulness. Get my teeth in. Sometimes we have to model godly character. Sometimes we have to make good work. Sometimes we have to minister grace and love. And it's through doing that that we mould the culture around us, as we heard last week from William. Today we're at M number 5, being a mouthpiece for truth and justice. Now, when I first looked at this passage from Colossians, which is set for today, it seemed to me that the passage was much more about Paul's prayer for the Christians at Colossae than it was about truth and justice. But we'll see as we go through that I think it has something to say to us when we're on our front line about how we're to act and what our life is to be like so that we can, you know, model godly character and make good work. Minister grace and love and be a mouthpiece for truth and justice. So as we get to verse 9, Paul has already given thanks because the gospel is bearing fruit in the world and in the church at Colossae, that he turns to telling the Colossians about his prayer for them. So in verse 9, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you." So there's this bunch of Christians meeting together in Colossae. A bit like us here today, if this was Colossae. Be a similar group of people, I think. Mixture of ages. Mixture of men and women. Those of us with hair and without, you know, that sort of thing. We'd all be represented if we looked at the church in Colossae. And clearly they've something about them, because news of their church has reached Paul. And you know what it's like in the Christian community. When there's a good one, just down the road, you get to hear about it, don't you? If it's worth visiting, you find out, because word spreads. So the word's got to Paul, and it's clear from the reading that he's not been to them. He's never been to Colossae. But nevertheless, he's praying for them constantly. And I know from my own experience that when people pray for you constantly, things change. So as we look at this prayer Paul has for the Colossian Christians, and we see what he's praying for, then I think we'll begin to see how their lives and the lives of those on their front line might be affected. Paul prays that God will fill them with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. It's with Spirit-filled lives and the knowledge of God's will that we can fulfill how to live according to God's way. You know, chapter 6 and verse 8 says, "He has told you, mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and walk humbly with your God." I mean, the message puts it slightly differently. I quite often like the message. It gives me it helps me understand in a different context. But he's made it plain how to live, what to do, and God is looking and what God is looking for in men and women. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbour. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. It's that bit about being humble and accepting what God wants for you. Paul's praying for the Christians to have, as well as that knowledge of the will of God, but a spirit-filled life that is a life bearing fruit in every good work. He's praying for the Christians at Colossae to have a spirit-filled life that is a life which is growing, a growing in the knowledge of God and bearing fruit. And Paul's praying for the Christians at Colossae to have a spirit-filled life that is a life which is being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, he says. It's as if great endurance and patience are like grace and mercy, that you can never have enough of them. For we all need more endurance and more patience so that we can persevere when the going gets tough. I think we've seen that in some of the testimonies, that you actually need endurance and patience when the going gets tough. You know, it's the strength to stick it out in the long haul. Not that grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength that God gives you. It's the strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy. It's that strength that enables you to thank the Father, who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful that he has for us. Paul's praying for the Christians at Colossae to have and to know a spirit-filled life, that a life which gives joyful thanks to the Father. He wants them to have that life which is qualified to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. And it's that spirit-filled life that gives the Christians at Colossae their identity in Christ. So it is like the Colossians that we've been rescued, saved, if you will, from the pattern of this world. So we've been free to live our lives in the pattern of God's world, a world filled with grace and mercy, where right living means peace and justice. A spirit-filled life, full of grace and truth. A life lived to the full and in all its fullness, I think is what Jesus said. Now, the justice described in the Bible is so much more about a right way to live than being legal about everything. And being a mouthpiece for truth and justice requires an understanding of grace and mercy, as well as a knowledge of truth and justice. He used to be a comedian. He used to say, "I want to tell you a story." I think his name was Max. I've got a story from a guy called Mark Green, in his book Fruitfulness on the Front Line, there's that word again, tells the story of June and Stacy. Now, June's a midwife, and Stacy comes into the maternity ward where June's working. For June, it's another day of blood, sweat, screams, tears, words which people don't usually use in front of strangers, and in the end, bundles of joy. Just a normal day for June. Stacy arrives on her own. No worried partner. No somebody trying to frantically find somewhere to park the car. No concerned mother worried about her daughter. This is something that June finds extremely unusual. There's usually someone comes in with the lady that's expecting. And over the hours of waiting for the little one to be born, they get to talking. June's obviously intrigued. And after probing a bit, Stacy tells her about her situation, and tells June that she and her mother have not seen each other for 7 years, and is furthermore adamant that her mother is never going to see her grandchild. during the course of the conversation, June finds the right time and the right words to say to Stacey that it's not that Stacey's mum has a right to see her grandchild, but that the baby has a right to see its grandmother. Now, as it turns out, 7 days later, Stacey turns up at her mother's with the baby. So in speaking out, June's gentle words have opened up a better life for 3 generations of that family. Mother and daughter reunited, and the introduction of a granddaughter in this case. Being a midwife, June's front line is not just about looking after mother and baby. It's much more than a healthy delivery, and it's making sure that a family gets the right start and gets off to a right start in life. In this case, making sure that the child has a relationally healthy family. June didn't have to say anything about the way to be a true family. It's not necessarily in the midwife's description, but June felt it was in hers. She sees that the truth sets people free, that Christ's way sets people free. And going back to Paul's prayer for the Colossians, prayer for knowledge of the will of God, for the strength, for the endurance and the patience, is something that we all need on our front line. We need to have discernment, courage. We need to have endurance. We need to be confident in our identity in Christ. We need to be able to discern when to speak out. We need to have the courage to speak out and not shy away. And we need to endure in the face of opposition. And so we need to be confident in our identity in Christ. For he's taken us out of the pattern of this world and freed us into living his way. My prayer for us this morning is that, like the Christians at Colossae, we'll be filled with knowledge, to have wise minds and spirits attuned to God's purposes, and so be fruitful, that we'll live a life worthy of the Lord, to please God in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God. That we'll be strengthened with power and have great endurance and patience. That endurance and patience will not be the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength that God gives. May the Spirit of God grant us discernment, courage and endurance, being confident in our identity in Christ. May he help us to be a voice that streaks out for truth and against injustice. Amen.